Welcome to the Latin MedTech Leaders Podcast, a conversation with MedTech leaders who have succeeded or plan to succeed in Latin America. Please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or Deezer. Welcome to the Latin MedTech Leaders Podcast. Today, our guest is Dr. Jonathan Bringas from the Netherlands. Dr. Bringas is a physician who has worked in the implementation of medical technologies, digital health, and medical devices in some of the top medical centers worldwide, such as the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, the Panama Clinic, the Hong Kong University Hospital, the AMC, UMC, Amsterdam, and many others. He's held several leadership positions, including medical director, chief medical officer, and is currently the chief communications officer of a Finnish medtech company called Nykyte. How do you pronounce that name, Jonathan?
In Finnish, you're supposed to say Nykyte.
Oh, Nykyte. Okay. So Nykyte is a respiratory and sleep medicine wearable company developing diagnostics and digital health tools. Dr. Bringa has postgraduate education in public health, business strategy, and digital healthcare solutions. So, Jonathan, it's great to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julio, very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Awesome. All right. Let's start, Jonathan, with your personal and professional link to Latin America. You have a very fascinating personal story, so I'm sure listeners want to hear about it.
Well, just really fast to make it short, I am Peruvian originally, born and raised in Peru. I did have a little time of my life that I spent between the US and Peru. I did my medical education in the Caribbean, and I went back to Peru to do my specialty. And it was until then that I was basically working on assistential medicine as a provider. And at some point, I started to work towards more the business side. And I, when I moved to the Netherlands, I went completely on the medical technology side. So I've been working for different companies already from an early stage in 2014 when I moved to the Netherlands. Companies that did hematology, I did some genetical solutions. And it was until the company called Lodi that I held already a position that was global, where I focused my attention pretty much in Latin America. I already knew and met many doctors from Latin America. I already had many connections there, and it was just natural for me to go and use all that network and those connections. And of course, my knowledge of Latin America to implement technology in those countries. Since then, I've been working already for more than 5 years in implementation of medical technology in different countries, from Chile to Mexico. And of course, I've also been working in the US and Canada, but for the sake of this interview, I will just discuss Latin America.
Excellent, Jonathan. Thank you for that. All right. So what trends do you see happening in Latin America that are relevant to our discussion today from the epidemiological, political, socioeconomic view?
So I think that COVID-19 pandemic has opened the eyes of many countries in the political side. I think they realized that availability of medical services in Latin America was not the best. It was very centralized. So that centralization has played a very, let's say, impactful factor in how the infection has spread and the amount of casualties that have arisen in the countries in Latin America. So I think in that case, seeing this situation in the last year and a half and also a little bit prospecting how it's going to happen or what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, I think the countries in Latin America will shift a little bit towards digital solutions. And in the case of medtech, probably they will start to implement more technologically advanced devices that can help them prevent. I think prevention will be a key in many countries in Latin America if we want to keep being sustainable in the case of medical services. Also, because the socioeconomic, as you said, situation has been impacted by COVID-19 very much. So when we use our resources, we have to be smart. So how do we use our resources to lower our costs per year? That's something that many governments will consider and ask themselves in the moment that they implement medical technology. I'm hearing already like the doors knocking all the time here, embassies from Latin America asking me questions. And I think it's just because of that. I'm very hopeful for this new type of thinking, let's say.
Okay, very good. So what's your perception of Latin America as a place to commercialize medical technologies, Jonathan?
As a place of commercialized, you said?
Yeah, commercializing medical technologies, selling medical devices in the region.
Yeah. I think it has been a very tough region. I think the medical culture that comes from university, you know, just medical professionals, they are very keen on keeping their traditions. And it's something that creates a little bit of an obstacle in the case of developing or implementing new technologies. And I think adoption of these technologies are key in these countries. But because of the COVID-19, again, I see that that's going to shift. Many doctors that didn't believe in digital health now are doing telemedicine in all these countries, from Costa Rica, Mexico, to Peru, Chile, Bolivia. So I don't doubt that this will change. In the case of how it has been so far, what I just said, they putting a lot of barriers. And then there's also the national bureaucracy from these countries that are making it very difficult. And every country has a different regulatory aspect. And so if you're a company that wants to implement technologies or expand in Latin America, you can't see us as a block. Chile has one regulatory system and Peru has another one. Ecuador has another one. You know, some of them are very easy to navigate, like Chile. Some of them are super complicated, like Brazil. So we have to be very smart in the case of the companies. And I think that that's also one limitation for the implementation of technologies in LATAM.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, reimbursement is also an issue, which is really key for the adoption of newer technologies. I mean, if the system doesn't have a code for the product, then you have to convince the physician to justify the use of that technology on a patient, or you have to get into the private insurance sector, yeah, which is a sliver of the whole big pie. Yeah. So let's talk us about Latin America as a place to do business. I mean, what's your overall perception as a region to do business in general? I mean, is it fun? Is it boring? Is it nice? I mean, how does it compare to Europe, to the United States, people and meetings, things of that nature?
I think that I've had really good experiences in Latin America. I can tell you the countries where I've been very successful in the short term and the ones that I've had to really work very hard and put a lot of attention to have some success. For instance, Chile and Colombia and Panama, they are countries that are really early adopters of technology. They love to know what's next. So when you go there and you go to a conference or a congress in these countries and you meet all these doctors, they're very eager to know what's next. Even the people in national systems, and of course, the people that work in private sector. So it's really cool to go there. It's really a breath of fresh air to go to these countries for congresses, conferences, and be able to discuss with the providers, but also with the insurance people, with the business people in these countries. I've had some different experiences in other ones. For instance, I've had some frustrating experiences in my own country, in Peru, where I think the situation, it has a very big barrier on adoption of new technologies. But I think that the COVID is changing their minds as well. But before that, it was kind of difficult to justify implementing technologies. I remember a conversation that was very harsh with a cardiologist in one of the biggest cardiac centers in Lima, where I was explaining them why it's important to do cardiac rehabilitation, implementing ECG to it. And they didn't believe in that until then. So I think it was something that I had to really like be an advocate of this. But in general, I think Latin America is a challenging place. For the people that love international business, it is no different than doing business in the Middle East or in Southeast Asia. It's the challenging region, but it can give you really great success if you do it strategically.
Okay, good. So let's go country by country where you have the most experience, Jonathan. Let's start with Peru, because I guess, you know, to me, I've been to Peru a few times and I love the country and the food and the people. It's just nice. But it's not a country that I hear from my clients as a first place to enter Latin America. They usually want to start in Mexico or in Colombia. Once in a while, I hear Argentina, Brazil. Of course, everyone wants to be in Brazil, but once they learn about the regulatory hurdles and the price of getting the registration and the time it takes, they're like, no, let's start somewhere else. But Peru, I almost never get an inquiry for Peru. So let's talk about Peru. What do you think about the country? What do you think about the medical business sector in the country, et cetera?
So Peru is a very difficult place to start business with new technology. There is a regulation that really is a little bit of an old-fashioned regulation. So if you want to import in Peru, you need to have a company called Droguería, which is like a pharmacy. Although you're importing medical technology, your company has to be registered as it was a pharmacy. Then you have to have actually a chemist that has to be the medical director of this pharmacy in order to import medical technology, which makes no sense, you know? So that's just the first step. You have to have a place where you do storage of your medical technology, and you have to put them there so they come inspect it, even though you could probably bring it from the airport directly to location or from the port directly to location. You have to have this place, and it has to stay on a closet or like a place of storage for some time. And this storage place has to have a registration as well. So it's a very complicated way of playing this. It has supported a monopoly for some time. And then after that, you still need to register your devices that it's according to the class. So that's basically according to the class in the US. So class one, class two, class three. And then it costs an amount of time. They ask you for many questions, and usually the process is very tedious and challenging. When that finishes, then you can finally import your product and you can sell it in a market. The problem with the market is that the market wants very cheap prices. But by the time that you can already import your product, you already made a huge expense that you have to probably justify in the matter of, you know, adding a plus to the price or a margin, which they don't want. So that makes it extremely difficult. You know, you have to have really, really very experienced partners in Peru in order to make your product succeed. There are companies that create their own companies in Peru. For instance, Philips has their own Peruvian Philips, which I think it's a distributor. I'm not really sure, but I think it's a distributor that has been acquired. And in that way, then they can pretty much control the importation. Also, their devices are extremely expensive and it's just a market. So it's not very difficult for them to succeed. But for small companies that have innovative medical technologies and they are just trying to risk-free go to Latin America and expand in a strategical way, Peru is not going to be the place of choice, unfortunately, because I think they would pretty much profit from new technologies.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So how long does it take to register a medical device in Peru?
If it's class one, it probably will take you around 3 months. Class two, probably around 6 months. And class three, probably 9 months. But that's an optimistic calculation. So it's probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Wow. And the population is fairly significant, right? It's like 40-something million people?
Yes. It's 38 million. It's almost arriving to the 40. Yes. You have centralized places. So Lima has, I think, around 10 million people in the capital.
What's the second largest city?
I think Arequipa.
Arequipa, yeah. So what's the healthcare system in Peru like?
So you have three systems, the universal healthcare system, which is controlled by the Ministry of Health, and that one is called MINSA. So that is basically free for everyone, and everyone in Peru can go. Of course, it has its flaws. There's not a lot of hospitals. There's not a lot of beds. There's a very big amount of people. So if you are going to be seeing a doctor at MINSA, you're probably going to be waiting for a long time for consultation. Now, there is also other system, which is called E-Salud. And that one is a insurance that you pay when you are employed. So it's still national, but it's only for people that are employed. And then that one you pay for, and it's a little bit better than MINSA. It's semi-private because it's subsidized and you're paying yourself. However, it's not a private insurance.
So it's controlled by the government, it's regulated by the government, but you go to a private hospital, not a government-owned hospital.
Yes, exactly. But these are hospitals that are also from this system, which is called E-Salud. So you still get a lot of people because people that, let's say, are fishermen to the people that are CEOs, everyone has E-Salud if they have a contract. And then you have the third one, and the third one is a completely private one. And you have different private healthcare insurance companies. Some of the biggest ones are RIMAC, Pacifico, and then you have private hospitals that some of them belong to the insurance companies, and some of them are just a network of private hospitals. And in the case of private hospitals, you can have the most amazing top-of-the-shelf hospital that is comparable to a Swiss private hospital, or you can have the lowest of the lowest. You know, so basically it's a very big and broad spectrum of private hospitals that Peru has been finding challenging to control and to audit. And they always find new centers that are maybe going a little bit out of the legality and they close them. So it's a very difficult position. But I think they're developing the way they do their healthcare accessibility, and they have been developing their economy as well. So I don't doubt that in a couple of years, maybe 3 to 5 years, they will have this a little bit better in control, and they will have better rules of the game for these three systems.
Sure. Yeah. So is there another system for government employees, like the military, teachers?
The military, they have their own system. So each military branch has their own system. So the military has theirs, so Army. The Air Force has their hospitals. The police has theirs. So the three military branches have their three systems.
Oh my gosh, we're talking about almost 10 systems. If you really count those little ones.
Yeah. I don't count them, but I think I should probably, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the oil company has another system and the teachers union has another system or something.
No, the teachers union don't have another system, but I think that there are some small systems of the mining companies. But those are not really systems. Yes, those are not really systems, but they have their own medical centers, the places where they do mining.
Yeah, the reason I call them systems is that from the manufacturer's perspective, Jonathan, you have to navigate each vertical to get reimbursement, right? So that's the challenge.
Yes. This is why a manufacturer should probably find a distribution partner in the country and not navigate it himself. It will be extremely difficult. You will spend a lot of resources and you might never win them back.
Yeah. It's a lobbying effort. It's a political effort. It's who you know, friends, I guess. So my thinking would be that if a company that has a product that wants to be introduced in Peru, the low-hanging fruit is the private insurance system, because they are more open to newer technologies. As long as the doctor justifies the procedure with this specific device, will probably be reimbursed.
That depends on the insurance company. So the lowest hanging fruit is indeed. For instance, let's put an example. If I wanted to bring the product of the company where I work, Nukutu, if I want to bring one of those respiratory monitors to Peru, I have to lobby this at different levels. So yes, I have to do it at the private sector, private hospitals, and show it to pneumologists, so respiratory doctors, sleep doctors. But then I also need to talk to the insurances. They have to agree, because one private hospital is receiving patients that are coming from different insurances. So they all have to agree that they will reimburse my product, or the hospital will buy it and then they will just bill the insurance companies as a treatment. So that's another possibility. But I think that the best one is to come in the market with the insurance companies.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. So I guess, I don't know what your thoughts are on this, Jonathan, that the Pacific Alliance and the OECD will make Peru a more competitive country in the regulatory framework, in the adoption of newer technologies. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think the Pacific Alliance, if you think about right now, countries that are easy to navigate and countries that are difficult to navigate in Latin America, you basically are mapping the Pacific Alliance versus Mercosur. So the difficult countries are Brazil and Argentina, and then the countries that are easy to navigate are Chile and Panama, Colombia, Mexico, which are the countries that are in the Pacific Alliance. I think it has to do a lot with the vision of each region separately. They have a different vision. While the Pacific Alliance is trying to be very open, the Mercosur is putting a lot of regulatory disruptions, let's say, in the process of commercialization, maybe to protect their own markets.
Yes, that's the key word, protectionism. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I see it. So I think Peru can profit from the Pacific Alliance in many things. Probably one of the things will come into healthcare very soon, because after this COVID pandemic, I think the Pacific Alliance has the responsibility to address the situation with their members and find a common ground in a new global way of public health.
Yeah, the Pacific Alliance is a big trend in Latin America, Jonathan, and it will make countries behave in a new way, in a more open way, more competitive, more business friendly. And also the OECD is putting a lot of pressures in all these countries. And coincidentally, Peru is the only country in the Pacific Alliance today defining the Pacific Alliance as member countries and candidate countries. I mean, member countries are Mexico, Colombia, Peru, and Chile. And candidate countries are Panama and Costa Rica. But Peru is the only member country that is not part of the OECD yet. It has already submitted its application for the OECD, and I can't wait to see Peru being accepted as a member, because it will really transform the country as it has been happening in Colombia, for example, my own country.
I agree. It's going to be a great thing for Peru. They probably will start mirroring a little bit more the developed economies in the Pacific Alliance, like Colombia and Chile. And we're looking forward to that as well. It's also going to help them a lot in the case of how to regulate and navigate their own regulatory aspects, which probably they don't really understand or know how yet.
And eventually the Pacific Alliance will create a single regulatory market.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. That would be like in Europe somehow. Yeah, I mean, they will first homogenize the requirements, which will make it easier. I mean, just one dossier for countries, or five or six countries, whatever member countries they have at that time. Fantastic. And the second step, I guess, is the mutual recognition. If I get approval in Colombia, the member countries will recognize my approval. So that's the way it should be.
I agree. I think that they've been doing this already with free trade agreements. The Pacific Alliance has been doing that. If they are recognized in Chile, then they are using the free trade agreements in another country. I think that they should do the same in the case of regulatory. It's going to help them to acquire the new technologies, but it's also going to help them in the case of pharma. It will help them in the case of clinical trials. You know, it will be easier for the region to access on clinical trials at different pharma levels, which is needed to test in the populations of our region as well.
Yeah, well said. That's a good point. Yeah, the Andean region, Colombia, Peru, well, let's get Venezuela out of the picture for now, Ecuador and Bolivia, the Andean Pact, I think that's the official name. They already have what eventually the Pacific Alliance will have. They have homogenization of the requirements, of the document requirements. But for, I think it's for cosmetics and some food products or something like that. But I'm sure it is for cosmetics, which is a good step. I mean, it's an initial step. And there's already free movement of people, and there's a lot of trade, of course, and all that. Anyway, so let's move on to other countries. I mean, what other country you feel comfortable talking about, Jonathan?
Anyone. I've been very happy doing business in Chile. You know, the thing about Chile is that you basically bring your device, it enters, and you have an on-site permission, which is your entire regulatory process. So when you have a partner that already can navigate the national system, which is completely universal, and the private system, then the rest, which is regulatory, that's actually pretty easy. And that allows your partner as well to just bring some demos to the country without having to deal with all these regulatory issues. They can probably leave a demo at a client and just for them to test it. I think the way of doing marketing of your devices is way easier as well than if you just do it through brochures or pictures. You can actually implement a device and tell them like, hey, use it for a couple of weeks and then I'll come back and you let me know how it went. Because you don't need any regulatory process, you can just do that. So I think I've loved to work in Chile because we can just put things really fast into place and say, let's just figure it out. And if you guys like it, we're just going to implement it. And it's a sale. It's a sale being done very easy, very fast.
Yeah, I think it's a self-regulated market in the way that the quality of your product, the stamp of approval from the FDA or the European Union, the CE mark, is really what sets the product apart from the competition, the Chinese or Indian or Pakistani products or Turkish products that sometimes get into these free markets.
Exactly. It's enough. The FDA and the CE, it's enough. But, you know, if you think about Chile, they are so open to new technologies. They are so open to innovation that, for instance, during this pandemic, they have been also in the lead of absolutely everything. They have been in the lead of testing. They've been in the lead of vaccinating. Like Chile right now, course, they have their third wave because they haven't really been able to vaccinate the amount of the population that they need to vaccinate to be more free. And they have given maybe too many freedoms to people, but they already vaccinated around more than 25% of the population, which is something extremely successful for countries in Latin America. And they do it because they implement technologies to be able to do that related to digital healthcare. They are early adopting new trends while Latin America in its entirety was discussing what we're going to do with vaccines. Chile said, we're just going to buy them. And that made a big difference. And I think it's the way they do business as well. They're not worried about risking in Chile. And that really has made a big difference in the case of implementing medical technology.
Good, good. Yeah. Yeah, I love Chile too. I've been to Chile two or three times and I love the country, love the mentality. It's considered a second world country, not a third world country, using old terminology, but that's a good way to relate to or to compare Chile with other countries in Latin America. Yeah, very forward thinking. It's like Costa Rica in a way. It's kind of a different from the rest. It's the Switzerland of Latin America.
And you can see it in the amount of hospitals from this region that are in the American economy list ranking.
Yes, yeah, ranking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, we're close to the end of the show, Jonathan, but I'd like you to talk about Nucuta. Tell us about your plans in Latin America. What do you have?
So we basically developed this really cool product that is a PAD product, but it's not only a PAD, it's also a respiratory breathing sounds monitor that is a collar combined with an SpO2 device. And what it does is at the moment we are doing apnea diagnostics, whether it is central apnea or obstructive apnea, but we're going to be adding more technology in the future. So the cool thing of our device is that our device is basically a hardware device that is controlled by digital health solutions. And by doing that, we basically can update our device constantly and give it more functions. And because of its capacity of listening to respiratory sounds and analyzing them in an algorithmic way, we can actually be able to diagnose or, let's not call it diagnose, but point and give the advice to doctors on specific respiratory conditions. And that's something very powerful right now in this world of automatization and doctors doing telehealth because we can do it remotely. So I think that our plans in Latin America is right now we're starting to think about distributors. I've been already discussing some of these things with my network, and I'm always open to hear more companies that are related into the sleep medicine, but also respiratory medicine. We are open to first do some interviews with possible distributors. And after that, we would like probably to go to a couple of congresses in Latin America to show up our device, but also to just get into workshops and discuss these things together. We want to do this in a very scientific way at the beginning, and then we want to expand commercially when we have a creator validation in Latin America.
Very good. And what countries have you gotten the most interest so far?
So I've been speaking with people in Panama. We have a really good distribution partner in Panama and Costa Rica. So Panama and Costa Rica are, as we just said, they are innovative. They are the candidates of the Pacific Alliance. So of course, I'm discussing things with them. I have a really amazing partner in Chile that is just a very good company that have been led by young people that have innovation in their minds. So Chile, Panama, Costa Rica, and maybe Colombia will be the first countries to enter. And of course, we are applying for FDA. So after that, probably the United States before we go to Mexico. Mexico usually follows the trends of the U.S. So once we have created adoption in the U.S., then Mexico will be our next target.
Fantastic, Jonathan. All right. So before we close, what would you say to the CEO of a company that is just looking or doesn't understand Latin America, has never been to Latin America, is just looking to expand to the region? What would be your words of wisdom to him?
I would say see a good event where you can go. There are really interesting events in the Americas where you can find many distribution partners like Hospitalar or FIMI in Florida. I will tell them as well that if your product is very niche, then you probably want to go to the Latin American Society of something. If it's cardiology, cardiology. If it's respiratory, respiratory. See how the market reacts to your products and find a distribution partner, especially in the countries that are regulatory chaos, because they are the only ones that will be able to implement your product unless you have millions of dollars to spend in that. That's my advice.
Excellent, Jonathan. All right. It was great having you here, and I look forward to being in touch. I'm sure listeners got some good wisdom from your experience in Latin America, especially Peru. I was so glad to hear your take on Peru because you're my first guest to ever speak about Peru. So I love the conversation. All right, Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you, Julio.